I'll be reading from Exodus 3, verses 1 to 10. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." This is the word of the Lord.
"Now go, for I am sending you. You must lead my people out." So this morning, we will be placing ourselves into Moses' shoes for a little bit and speak on the topic of calling, renewed calling. So last week, Koen spoke about restored relationships we have with God, with others, and with the earth. And you could say that once you're in relationship, from relationship begins to flow responsibility. Because what we relate to, what we begin to relate to, we feel a responsibility to care for, and what we care for becomes our calling. Our concern becomes our business. So now you're Moses, and you have tried this thing already. You grew up in Pharaoh's house until the time came for you to lead your people. You've did this thing that the Lord just asked of you, and you screwed up. You killed an Egyptian who was abusing your countrymen. And you only, instead of leading them out, have made things worse for them. And so you think that this God thing, this ministry thing, it is over for you. So you're minding your own business. You're helping your father-in-law, tending the sheep. And then God shows up. And God says, "Now go. I am sending you. You must lead my people out." Very clear and simple. So this morning we will be looking into the topic of renewed calling. And now, as always in this series that we're doing, All Things New, we will start with a little bird's eye view of the topic throughout all of Scripture. And then we'll zoom in on a specific aspect of it. And today, that specific aspect will be the story of Moses, the conversation Moses has with God in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. And we'll look at how calling operates in our lives. But first, the bird's eye view of Scripture, because What's interesting, if you look at the topic of calling in Scripture, you see that it often follows the pattern of coming out of water, which represents chaos and death, and being put up on your feet in the land of promise. It's a process of going from being tossed all over the place to being established on your feet. So I'll give you a quick overview, because right in the beginning of Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the beginning is that it says that the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the deep waters. So the history of the earth, the history of mankind, starts with chaos waters. In the Hebrew, it says tohu wabohu, which is an allusion to the Mesopotamian deity Tiamat, which is the god of chaos. The history of the earth starts with the waters of chaos, and from there, solid land emerges, and God creates a garden. Human life appears, mankind receives its calling, and mankind is taken out of the water, placed on its feet, and is given life in the garden. And then some 9 chapters later, there is the flood that destroys all of the earth. But Noah emerges in the boat from the water, and this calling of mankind, the initial calling that God first gave to Adam, is renewed. Noah is called out of the boat, out of the water, and he is given this task to resettle in the land. Then the book of Exodus, it gives us the story of Israel. Israel is called out of Egypt, and they're chased by Pharaoh's troops until they reach this dead end at the Red Sea. And God opens the sea for them. They're drawn through these waters of chaos and death, and they're established in place in the land God has for them. It's also in the New Testament how Paul speaks about the experience of baptism in Romans chapter 6. It's the same story. Romans 6, 4 and 5, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And of course, finally, there is the ultimate fulfillment, the ultimate renewal of our calling, when at the return of Jesus, we are raised from physical death and we will experience the resurrection life, established on our feet as co-rulers with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. So when God renews our calling, he calls us out of the water, which represents chaos and death, and he puts us up on our feet. He establishes us on our feet in the land of promise that he has for us. So here we meet Moses. And for Moses, this calling out of the water was a literal thing. When he was a baby, he was rescued from the Nile because his mother had put him there so that the Egyptians wouldn't find him. And he was raised to his calling under the care of Pharaoh's own daughter. So he is raised in Pharaoh's house, being made ready to become the leader of Israel and leading them into their purpose. But Moses ends up in chaos and death again. He wants to help his people, but he takes things into his own hands. He kills the Egyptian, and he finds his calling going off the rails. And this is where the Lord finds him in Exodus 3, in the desert with his father-in-law's sheep. And the Lord begins to put him back on his feet. And if you look, Exodus chapters 3 and 4, those two chapters together, they're the conversation that the Lord uses to reestablish Moses to the place that he is calling him to. Now, in the book All Things New, which is a book by theologian Pete Hughes, and we use this book as the framework for this series. Pete uses this burning bush story to describe the topic of calling using three questions, and I have called them the three burning questions or the three burning bush questions. Three burning questions that God engages Moses with to help him rediscover and step back into his calling. And the three questions are these. Where do you stand? Where is your land? And what is that in your hands? And basically, through these questions, God comes down, God finds Moses where he is, and God brings him back up. And this is a significant aspect of calling because it's also what God wants to do for his people Israel through Moses. We just read Exodus 3:8, where God says, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a fertile and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And you could say that this is an inescapable fact of calling, that what the Lord wants to do through you, he first has to do in you. God is coming down to bring Israel up through Moses, and so he first needs to come down to bring Moses up, and he uses these three burning bush questions to do it. So the first question is, where do you stand? Or pay attention to where you stand. And that's a bit of a strange question because at the start of the story, Moses has already answered that question. Because what is the first thing Moses says to God in this story? Here I am. Here I am. God called Moses. He said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses' immediate answer was, "Here I am." And probably Moses really thought that he was there. But the conversation with the Lord revealed that Moses was actually anywhere but there. Moses, in his mind, was all over the place, but he wasn't there. And if you're a guy, you can probably relate to this. If you're in a relationship with one, you can probably relate to the frustration of it. We have this amazing ability to be here, but not here. You understand what I mean? So we'll sit on the couch or we'll sit at the kitchen table and we'll half listen to what you say and we'll in all the right places, but we're not here. We may be thinking of work that still needs doing. We may feel awkward with the subject and not really want to go there. We're especially good at trying to guess where the conversation is going so we can take the shortcut right to it, right? You know those conversations? You're guilty of them? Okay, good. You get the picture. So we have this ability to be here, but not to be present to what is happening. We say, "I am here," but we don't really know where we stand. And it was like that between the Lord and Moses. Moses said, "I am here," but the Lord was present. And that is why the ground where Moses stood was holy. It was holy because of the presence of the Lord. And you could say the first step of being renewed in our calling is to learn to be present to God's presence. Being present to God's presence. And that is much more than simply paying attention to what goes on in the moment. Being present, answering the question, "Where do you stand?" also entails taking stock of where you've come in life and in your walk with the Lord. What was my experience growing up? What were my formative experiences, my disappointments, my moments of delight? How did I experience and learn about God growing up or not? How did I try to follow Jesus earlier And how did I bang my head into the wall? How did I recover? Or did I actually? When we become present to God's presence, we carry all of those things into the here and now, into the holy ground where he meets us. And that's where he meets us. That's where he renews our calling. And, you know, as a former pastor who has lived through a painful church split, I could only move forward in faith and in ministry if I would grapple with this question from the Lord: where do you stand? Because where you stand, that is where you move on from. Where you stand is where you move on from. And it's probably the same for you in your, you know, jobs or studies or whatever. You know, it can be something that you really wanted, but it turned out differently. Or you got the chance and then you screwed up. You got to bring those things into the presence of the Lord, because where you stand is where you move on from. The second question that shapes our renewed calling is the question, where is your land? And you could say this is the question of vision and mission. What do you see before you? Where is the Lord sending you? And it's interesting that this place of calling, this question of where is your land, it doesn't just come with the promise of flourishing. In the part we just read, it's not only about the land of milk and honey. It's also about the Canaanites and all of those other enemies that live there. I'm reading a book from church growth researcher Christian Schwartz, founder of Natural Church Development. His new book, God's Energy, he speaks about this land as the place where God's energy is for you, a place where God works in you and through you. And he explains that these promises of flourishing and adversity, they're actually two sides of the same coin. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul speaks about his decision to stay a bit longer in Ephesus and do his work there, because it says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." He doesn't say "but." He says "and." So it's your place of calling. It has the reward, but it also has the work. But there's energy in the work. Now, you may remember that some time ago, in one of the previous messages, I spoke about the 10-90 rule, right? So even the most committed Christians will, at most, invest 10% of their time in their calling inside the church. What God has for you, the land he has for you, is mostly out there. It's not just the Sunday mornings and the Wednesday evenings, right? It's Monday through Friday. So here's the question of, where is your land? Do you have clarity about where you're going in life? What your God-given priorities are? Where the energy is for you? And part of it may be, you know, stewarding somebody else's mission for a while as an early leader, just like Moses assisted his father-in-law, Jethro. But we need the clarity and the direction to come out of chaos and distraction and second-guessing and to land on our feet. Where is your land? And the third question that God talks about with Moses, which you read in Exodus chapter 4, is the question, what is that in your hands? Moses has this ordinary wooden staff with which he directs the sheep. But the Lord turns it into this miracle-working instrument. Moses throws the staff on the ground, it becomes a snake, he picks it back up, it becomes a staff again, as a prophecy of the signs he will do before Pharaoh. So when the Lord restores your calling, as he does with Moses, there are two things he gives you as he sends you on your way. And the first is what you have in your hands. It is your gifts plus his presence. You start with what you have, and the presence of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, comes when you start using it. So just like in the New Testament, when Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the two loaves of bread and the five loaves of bread and the two fish, I always confuse the two. The bread doesn't start multiplying until the disciples break it, right? So there's this interaction between you bringing in what you have and the Lord giving his anointing when you start working with what you have, and that's when the miracle happens. And the other thing that the Lord gives you, the other thing that is, you could say, in your hands, is your people. Because in Exodus 4, Moses begins to complain to the Lord that, you know, Israel will probably not want to accept him, and you know, he's a bad speaker, and all of those kinds of things. And the Lord gives him his brother Aaron, who can sort of speak for him, and he also gives him the support of the elders of Israel. Because your calling in the Lord is never a solo adventure. It is never a matter of you being a solo flyer. Your calling comes with a crew. People you do faith and ministry with. People you do work and life with. That's what you have in your hands. That's what you will work with. The people he gives you and your gifts plus his presence. Now, at the surface, you know, going through these three questions, it's almost like the structure of a job interview, right? Where do you stand? You know, it's what they ask at the start of a job interview, right? Oh, tell me about your background, where you come from, and how did you get to where you are now? Or where is your land? You know, what is your ambitions? What is your vision? What do you see before you? And what do you have in your hands? Oh, what you're good at? What are you good at? What are your talents? Right? It's almost like a structure of a job interview. But the conversation the Lord has with Moses is not just an informative conversation, because through these three burning bush questions, God brings to light what is actually happening inside of Moses. And what is actually keeping Moses from stepping back into his calling? It is a transformative conversation, because the deeper the Lord digs, the more what's inside of Moses comes to light. And it starts with Moses' early enthusiasm. If you look at the start of what we just read, first things Moses says is, I must go and see, and here I am, right? So Moses starts off, say, enthusiastically. But soon enough, when God's presence shows up, Moses hides his face. And then the Lord begins to speak about the mission. And then Moses encounters his doubts about the sender, about God. What should I tell them about your name? In other words, God, who are you? What are you like? You want me to lead others in your name, but do I know you? Do I trust you enough? Moses is doubting the sender. And so the Lord reveals himself. He reveals himself as the I am. He promises Moses his presence and his crew. And then Moses encounters the next layer of doubt inside himself. He doubts the mission. He says to the Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe me? And then again, you know, the Lord is a patient coach, right? So there's more and more encouragement. And then Moses encounters the next thing, because what he really doubts is himself. It's the next thing he says to the Lord, but I am not a great speaker. And of course, the Lord also solves that problem for him. And then Moses is really out of excuses. And he almost becomes angry at the Lord. And he goes, look, please just send somebody else, okay? Because at a certain point, when you Talk through these questions with the Lord. You're done repeating all of the distractions and all of the excuses and all of the chaos, and you either go or you don't. So when the Lord helps Moses renew his calling, it's not an informative conversation like a job interview. It's a transformative conversation. The Lord helps Moses come to the decision that he needs to take. And I'm convinced that what Moses needed from the Lord to step into his calling or to step back into his calling is also what we need from the Lord. This theme of coming out of the waters of chaos and death and up on our feet in the land of promise, it is so relevant for us today because we live in an unprecedented age of information overload, of distractions, of fear of missing out, of having so many options available to us that we don't know what to choose, so many options where we could direct our energy that we are easily paralyzed. We don't know what to choose, let alone what to commit ourselves to. And that's the experience of chaos, the experience of being all over the place, just like Moses was. But the Lord is coming down to bring us up. He wants to put us on our feet in this place of flourishing. So that's why also today he is asking us these three burning bush questions. Where do you stand? Do we recognize the presence of God? Are we prepared to make ourselves present to the presence of God, bringing all that we carry into the here and now with him? Where's your land? What is your thing worth investing yourself in? Because God's open door, God's energy is there for you. What's the place for you to establish yourself, the place that you can help flourish? And what is that in your hands? What are the gifts he has given you? And how is the Lord adding his anointing when you start using them? Who is your crew? The people you do faith and ministry with, the people you do work and life with. And I would encourage you to make it a regular practice, you know, starting this week in your small groups, to sit with yourself and answer these three questions and let the Lord direct you to what is ahead for you. And you will find that as you go through these, it will also help you cut through these doubts that you carry, the excuses you tell yourself. Because if we truthfully have this conversation with the Lord, then eventually we either go or we don't. And he brings us to this point of decision. Will we stay stuck on this side of the river? Or will we come through? Will we come out? And will we land on our feet in the land of promise that he has for us? So I want to give you two invitations. One is, I think, for most of us, just in a moment, I'd like to pray. And there's an invitation for all of us to become present again to the presence of the Lord. And I think that if we ask the Holy Spirit to come, you know, and you feel that you need to have this encounter with the Lord again, you need to hear the Lord call your name and you need to tell the Lord, "Here I am," then he is going to speak. Right? So in a minute, you know, if this is for you, I'm going to invite you to stand up, to make yourself present to the Lord and to expect that he will speak to you, that he will be there in this moment. And, you know, for the people who are around, you know, when you see people standing somewhere in your row, just pray for them, bless them, and help them receive from the Lord. And the other thing is really specific for people who sort of have never crossed that river. And then I'm talking about baptism. I think there's an invitation today that if you know that it's time for you, you know, you've been walking with Jesus for quite some time, you've been going back and forth with Jesus, but you have never really taken a step of baptism, then I would invite you after the service to come either to me or to somebody from the LT and to talk about baptism. Because I think if I'm looking at the LT, I think we're planning a baptism service sometime soon, right? So if that's for you, if that's the step that the Lord is asking you to take right now, come see us after the service, invitation into baptism. So I'm going to pray, going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and if this speaks to you that you know you need to become present to the presence of the Lord, please stand and let the people around you pray. Okay. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you find us where we are. Lord, thank you that in you our calling is never lost. But when we have somehow lost our way, you come down to bring us up. You come down to bring us up, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill this room. And just as you called Moses, Moses, Lord, I pray that you will begin to call many of us by name. And if you feel the Lord is calling your name, I want to invite you to stand up and to say to the Lord, here I am. I want to invite you to stand up, say to the Lord, here I am. And maybe you're not yet fully here, but he will help you do it. And Lord, I just pray that you begin to speak, Lord, to the people who have said, here I am. That you will begin to renew their vision. You will begin to renew their dreams. You will begin to give them new clarity, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And church, let's get involved. Let's start blessing the people who are standing. Let's start praying for them. Thank you, Jesus, that you are calling us back to the place that you have for us. You want to put us on our feet, Lord. You want to establish us in the calling you have for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you speak? Would you come? Would you give clarity? Would you bring healing over all of the things that we're still carrying with us and that are holding us back from fully stepping into what you have for us? Release healing, Jesus. Release healing in Jesus' name. As we continue praying, I want to invite the worship team back up to lead us into a time of worship. But also during the worship, if you feel the Lord calling your name, you can still answer and say, here I am. And if the Lord's calling you to be baptized, please come see us after.